Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and You. And we are in our final segment with Judge Terry Carrigan, and she is the supervising judge of the county court and also acting Supreme Court Justice. This has been great information. Thank you so much for joining us. And I know that Otto was interested in another topic that we just would get some like to get some more information on.
The other night I was involved with a program called Project Help. And on that panel was Arlene Markarian from the Assistant District Attorney's Office. And there was a lot of talk about mental health problems during COVID, which comes in all shapes and sizes. And a lot of it is family on family, people who have addictions, mental health problems to begin with. And how do you know, you get cases like that that come through the court. How do you handle those kind of cases? They seem like they would be difficult. You know, do you incarcerate people who you know have problems? You know, the path of, I think the term that was used the other night, which I liked, I'm going to have to read it, was the need for therapeutic housing. There is no therapeutic housing right now. So I was just curious, like, where does the court try to direct those kind of cases?
So fortunately, this court, at least in Nassau County, we do work very closely with the District Attorney's Office and the Defense Bar to try to get non-incarcerated help to anybody who needs it. So these types of cases where there's mental health as a genesis for the criminal activity, you know, or addiction as the genesis for criminal activity, there are many, many programs that the district attorney has put together that allows these individuals to get help before they get incarceration, with the hope that they never have to be incarcerated. So there are programs there. Unfortunately, there is not a single place to send these individuals for their therapy. That would be wonderful. It does not exist. At least not here in the county. I'm not really aware of it in many places, at least in the lower part of New York State. I'm not sure about upstate. But we as the judges, we're not going to get in the way for the most part. If the defense attorney and the prosecution work something out where they come to the judge together and they say, Johnny Jones, the defendant, hit his mom, but he had a mental breakdown. Mom wants him to get better. Johnny Jones wants to get better. The family wants him to get better. And we've got this program that is willing to take him. Will you let him go there? The answer is yes. His case will remain open. We as the court may require him to plead guilty to something up front, but we leave him out and they go into the program. And as long as that accused, you know, Johnny Jones, as long as he's doing the right thing, we will let him take as long as he needs to get better. If he doesn't, we have the leverage then, because we usually require them to plead guilty, we'll have the leverage of incarcerating if we need to. You can get services while you're incarcerated, but everyone knows services outside the incarceration system are always better for everybody involved. So we do work with all of the agencies to try to get those people the mental health help that they need.
Well, like Project Independence, one of the things about Project Independence is nurses and social workers get involved with families, and they could tell if a senior is being abused. What does that mean? That's a long topic by itself, because there's so many different kinds of abuse. But Project Independence has been great at trying to direct people to programs like the family and
children's.
Family and Children's Administration or Association.
Yes.
They're wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, there are a lot of programs out there, and I think it's a teamwork that's required between the legal system and the social system and all the various groups, the charities, if you will. They're not charities. I don't like to use that word because people look at it as like a freebie that they're giving somebody. They're really people who are trying to help other people. And it requires an effort by all of these people. And I've learned a lot in the last couple of months about the fact that there is good communication between agencies and the legal system. And I don't think people realize how much goes on behind the scenes to try to help people and keep them out of jail. You know, that doesn't fix anything. But a wish list that came up the other night was the need for therapeutic housing, which a judge has nothing to do with, but just socially as a society, we used to have therapeutic housing, but it was debatable as to how good it was. They were more like prisons in some respects. I think we've learned a lot, and I think if we ever went back to therapeutic housing, they would be run differently. But that's a little bit of a philosophical bringing out here.
I do agree with you, Otto, that, you know, times have changed. In the past, prosecutors' offices were known for putting people in jail. Judges were known for what kind of sentence did you give the person. That has thankfully greatly changed. And now there is a recognition, I think, throughout that it's not all about can I prove this person's guilt and what kind of sentence can he get. Everyone really is trying to look to the look a little deeper. Now, don't get me wrong. There are individuals where the only question should be, can I prove their guilt and what kind of sentence should they get? That exists. But there are many cases where a change was needed. And I think the change is happening. And many of the district attorneys throughout New York State are embracing this desire to not necessarily incarcerate everyone, but to get to the root cause, to see if there is some sort of justice that can be served that doesn't necessarily require people to go to jail or people to go to prison. And the judges are embracing that also. As long as we keep the community safe and as long as justice is served and as long as the victims of these crimes feel that justice has been served, I think programs and alternatives to incarceration is a great move.
You know, Terry, and something else with the seniors that just seems to be exploding. It's always been around, but it hasn't been at this volume, and it's so sneaky. It's the incredible amount of scams that are out there, preying on everybody. I mean, we all get calls every day, scams and car warranties and trips and call Social Security. And are any of these people ever caught? And like, do you ever see them? I mean, there's financial crimes that bankrupt seniors who are isolated, living, you know, in their home in their 90s. And like, you know, from contractors coming to the door and, you know, saying they'll repair the roof, just give me $500 and they leave, you know, to, you know, more financial scheming, you know, stealing your private information stuff. Is there a huge increase in it, and has it grown since COVID, or it just changed direction? What do you guys see in the court system?
So I actually do have several cases that are assigned to me now because they're a little bit older. I have one telephone scam case, which just breaks my heart. A senior gave over several thousand dollars because they thought their grandson was under arrest and bail money was needed. I have another case where a professional took significant money from several seniors under a refinancing mortgaging scheme. We don't see it a lot. And let me say to the seniors, you know, there's a thought out there that the seniors are embarrassed to say that they were taken advantage of. Please don't be embarrassed. You have the right to the potential to get that money back. It won't always happen, but we need to know if this happens to you. These crimes are out there. These horrible people are out there. And when we can, when the DA's offices can prosecute them, they will. But they can't prosecute them if they're not aware of them. And these people are very savvy, you know. They have several layers within their phone dialing system, so you can't quite get to them on a direct check of a phone call. But please, and seniors, you know, if your grandson's incarcerated, someone in your family's going to tell you that. A stranger isn't going to tell you that. Wait for the family member to tell you that. Believe me, they will let you know. A stranger doesn't need to let you know. You know, if your roof needs fixing, they're not going to know that from standing in your front door and looking up. There has to be something more done. Please don't feel like you have to be nice to all these people that knock on your door. It's okay to slam the door in their face if you need to, you know, just please.
There's so many different types of scams, and they really prey on seniors because, like you were saying, seniors, they don't like to report it and they're scared. You know, I mean, if you could just call the police, you know, on this, you know, there's a lot of times they're caretakers that are, you know, taking care of them forever and ever. And the whole time they've been draining accounts and things like that. But you can call the police. You can be protected. It's really unfortunate. I mean, not too long ago, I heard just a couple got schemed. Someone wrote a note and said something like, "Oh, I love the paint color of your house. Here's my phone number. Please call me. I can't find it." They call the person. She's like, "You know, will you guys be home in like an hour, or, you know, I'll come by." And they're, you know, couple said, "No, we're both at work. You know, can you come later today?" And she's like, "Of course." So the house was robbed because they just told them no one was home. You know, it's like you just can't, you know, unfortunately, you can't trust anybody. But the scams come in just so many directions. And just when we get on top of it and we know it's a scam, the next one's coming out, you know.
You know, we've had a lot of shows about scams, and we always try with Christina later in the next segment to enforce or reinforce positive thinking. But I believe there's a time where negative thinking is required.
Right.
You know, that is whenever you get any action that you had nothing to do with generating, be skeptical. You're allowed to be skeptical. You're allowed, as Terry said, close the door, say no. When they put time pressure on you,
right. Get
lost, you know, right. Give me your phone number. Give me all your information. Maybe I'll get back to you, or send me something in the mail. Even that's not a good idea because then they have your address. But you know, you can't be afraid to say no and be skeptical, be negative.
Right. Say, "My son's a police officer. I'm going to call him first. And then if good, I'll definitely do it." Just, you know, say anything. You gotta, you know, come up with ways to protect yourself. It's really, you have to protect yourself. And that's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
They're
absolutely
pros. They're smooth talking pros.
Yeah.
And that's what they do for a living. They steal and they scam people.
And then they come before us and say, "We didn't realize, we didn't know, but we're not falling for that."
Yeah.
So again, not a lot of cases, I guess, thankfully, although I know there's a lot of it going on. So again, I'm concerned that people are afraid to report it.
Well, it's glad to know that, you know, there are cases coming to court and people are getting prosecuted for it. So, you know, eventually, hopefully there'll be some resolution. But thank you so much, Terry, for all this wonderful information. I'm sure we'll have you back. And, you know, thanks again for giving us your time. We really, really appreciate it. And we'll be right back with Project Independence and You, Talk of the Town.
Thank you for having me.